Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Sitcoms in this hour. Later on, it's the Burns and Allen Show from 1945. But right now, the Smiths of Hollywood. From February 28, 1947, Harry Von Zell stars in the syndicated recording called The 12th Wedding Anniversary.
From Hollywood, California, we bring you the Smiths of Hollywood. As daughter Bumps, Jan Ford.
Pop, did Mom wear white at her wedding?
As Bill Smith, Harry Von Zell.
Yes, and I wore black. Symbolic color, black.
As Nancy Smith, Brenda Marshall.
That's a husband for you. Sometimes I think women are fools to marry.
Obviously. But who else is there for a man to marry?
And as Uncle Cecil from England, Arthur Treacher. Now just relax and listen to the Smiths of Hollywood, plus the music of Charles Hathaway. Yes, dial twisters, you can rest those itchy fingers. You're tuned right to the Smiths of Hollywood. And now here's Nancy Smith.
Hi. Today was our wedding anniversary. You know, I get tired of always being the one to remember. So this time, after dropping hints all week, I decided to play dumb and let Bill be the first to remember. Not only did he remember, but he got out of bed first to surprise me with breakfast. Bill, what are you doing out of bed?
Oh, you would wake up. I wanted to surprise you.
Surprise me?
Sure. Don't you know what day this is?
Friday, isn't it?
Friday. Nancy, listen, this is a very special day. Think now. Why is it special?
Oh, there's no smog outside this morning.
No, now think what day it is.
It's garbage collection day.
Garbage collection day?
Of course. It's the day they collect the tin cans.
Oh, Nancy, what one day in the year do you always bawl me out after warning me well in advance?
The day after New Year's Eve.
No. Here, what day are husbands notoriously forgetful about and wives never forgetful about?
Payday.
Oh. Gabriel's teeth. Never mind. Now, listen, you stay in bed till I call you. Uncle Cecil and I'll get breakfast this morning.
Bill Smith.
Huh?
Do you have a guilty conscience about anything?
No, I don't have a guilty conscience about anything.
Well, don't snap at me.
Well?
And before you go downstairs, look in the closet. There's a present for you.
Oh, not now, Nancy. I have something very important.
Something important? As if our wedding anniversary wasn't important.
Well?
My present...
I know, that's... What?
You never remember our anniversary.
What do you say? Nancy, of course I do. That's why I got
Oh, don't pretend you remembered. I guess it just doesn't mean anything to you.
Well, you dope. I've been trying to tell you.
Dope, he calls me. On our wedding anniversary.
Oh, no, no, darling. Listen, don't cry. Honest. What?
Oh, happy anniversary, darling.
Why, you little minx. You knew it all along.
Oh, the guilty way you looked.
Yeah. You know, I ought to beat you.
I suppose you kiss me instead, huh?
Okay. Darling, you're the most delightful little idiot I was ever married to.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, it's all right, Bumps. This is a very special day. 12 years ago
yeah,
today...
Yeah, I know. Perpetual emotion. I bet the birds and the bees tell their children about you.
Your daughter, Mrs. Smith. Now, look, darling, you stay in bed till I call you, huh? I'm going to awaken Uncle Cecil and have him help me with a certain little project. Uncle Cecil, wake up.
What is it?
I said, wake up. It's our wedding anniversary.
Really? How long have we been married, William?
Now, Eustace, you know what I mean. It's Nancy's and my anniversary.
Well, it's nothing to do with me. Go and wake Nancy.
Now, here, you get out of that bed. While you get breakfast, I'll uncrate Nancy's present. You know what it is? It's one of those new washing machines that does everything.
Does everything?
Yeah.
Well, then, let it get breakfast. I'm sleepy.
Now, you're going to get breakfast. Nancy's favorite, flannel cakes and eggs.
Flannel cakes?
Uh-huh.
I say, are we down to eating our clothes?
Oh, Cecil, flannel cakes are pancakes. Now, look, everything is laid out for you. Just grab that egg beater and stir some water with that pancake mix in the kitchen. But hurry. Uncle Cecil, isn't breakfast ready yet?
Having trouble with this pancake batter.
Anybody see the jar of makeup I bought for Mom? Oh, you have an Uncle Cecil.
Uncle Cecil, now look what you've done. Listen, pancake mix and pancake makeup are not the same thing.
Now I'll have to go buy another present.
Oh, God.
I suppose he thinks cold cream goes on hot cereal.
Well, at least the sliced oranges are all right. It's a wonderful thing to live in California. Where else can you reach out of the window in the morning and pick a frosted orange?
Oh, I just couldn't wait any longer. Isn't breakfast ready yet?
Oh, breakfast. Oh, no, I'm sorry, darling. Nothing turned out right, but there's a present for you on the back porch.
On the back porch?
Uh-huh.
Bill, a new washing machine. Oh, you shouldn't have got me that.
Just what I said, Nancy. What a fiendish thing. Like buying a broom for a street cleaner.
Oh, Bill, you're a darling.
You think so? You love me as much as you did 12 years ago?
Oh, much more. Oh, we're so lucky. A nice home, a nice child.
Yes, you do have a nice home, all right.
What is wrong with our child?
Yes, a very nice home, yes.
We have a nice child, too. Bill, you know, I think one reason Bumps is so happy is because we're happy.
Yes, there's something in that, all right. You know, when parents have disagreements, I believe in sending the child outside.
Oh, so that accounts for the suntan your daughter has.
Why, we've only had one quarrel in 12 years.
Oh, not at all unusual. I knew a couple that only had one quarrel in 30 years.
Really?
Yes, it started the day they were married. It's still going on.
Oh, well, you're a cynic. Say, Nancy, how would you like to celebrate our anniversary, huh?
Well, I'd like to drive to the beach and stay all day.
All day? Well, I can't do that, darling. I have to see about that Scrogwell property the city wants to buy for a children's playground.
That old jungle those two old maids own?
Yeah.
Well, can't the city force the old maids to sell it?
Oh, the two old gals would fight it like wildcats. You know, they're not bad sorts. They're just old-fashioned. But the mayor says they like me, and the city council thinks if I butter them up and down, they might sell the property.
It's a fine way to celebrate an anniversary. I stay home while you butter two other women up and down.
Well, Nancy, it's business, and then there's this evening. Would you like to go out on the town?
Oh, that's not what I call celebrating, Bill. Do you know what I've been thinking? It's an idea I've had.
What?
I'd like to invite the minister who married us to dinner.
Oh, Reverend Foster?
Mm-hmm. He was such a nice person. I think he started our marriage off right.
Yeah. Say, why don't we? You want me to call him?
Why don't you? Maybe I'll go to the beauty parlor. I want to look my best.
Well, if there's going to be a minister here, I want to look my best, too.
Yes, well, don't you start with the beauty parlor. You better see a plastic surgeon.
Nancy, my girl, in many courtrooms, Bill's sense of humor would be termed mental cruelty. After 12 years, you shouldn't get a washing machine. You should get a pension. Well, cheerio, I'm off on a secret mission. Uncle Jimmy has got a beautiful ruby tinted nose. $1.48. $1.49. $1.
Uncle Cecil, what are you doing in my piggy bank?
Caught by the juvenile Scotland Yard.
Robbing me when my back's turned.
Isn't that the customary time for robbery? Do you have a burglar alarm attached to this swine vault?
Well, I'm going to attach one to it.
Well, don't get upset, child. I was just borrowing a few bob to buy flowers.
Buy flowers for who?
Not for who, for whom. Don't you know the king's English?
No kidding. And the queen, how about her?
Oh, what a vile child. Oh, dear. Look here, I just wanted to go and get a potted plant for your parents.
The last time you went out to get a potted plant.
I know, I just got potted. Come along, my little viper. We'll go and get the flowers, shall we? I say, your architecture in Los Angeles interests me. That veteran housing project over there, is that late Gothic?
No, that's early Quonset.
Oh.
An airplane. Look, Uncle Cecil, a skywriter.
A skywriter in California? I say he must use one of those new planes that write underwater.
Look at that guy. Dot his I's and cross his T's.
What's he writing? X, fighter, pilot, wants apartment. How ingenious, hmm?
You want to see some fun, Uncle Cecil? Here, watch while I run this stick along this picket fence.
Fun? What do you mean, child?
Arthur Treacher lives here. He hates children. You watch him pop his head out.
You again, you little one-headed monster!
See what I mean, Uncle Cecil?
Well, what's he got against children? You know, I love them. I say, who is this Arthur Treacher, by the way?
Oh, he's mayor of Sherman Oaks.
This must be a sort of a vile sort of bloke, I should think. Yes. I say, child, look at that house down the way. All those roses growing wild. No need paying money to a florist, is there?
That's where the Scrogwell sisters live. Don't believe in telephones or electric lights. They're awfully old-fashioned.
Yes, that's even an old-fashioned washing they have hanging up. You know, it's been a long time since I saw lavender and old whalebone. I think I'll just vault the fence and pinch a few roses.
Oh, I wouldn't, Uncle Cecil. They own the land the city wants for a playground. Papa's been trying to get them to play ball with him for a long time.
Oh, just couldn't wait till they got the playground in, eh? My, what a rickety fence.
Yes, and that clothesline is anchored to it. I don't like this, Uncle Cecil. Those two old maids are probably looking out the window.
For 40 years, put down that book and come here. I'll owe that rental library a fortune by the time I finish Uncle Tom's Cabin. Give me the bifocals. There's a man climbing over our back fence. A man climbing over our fence? Is he trying to get in or out? He's in. Good. The rascal is picking our roses.
Get away from me.
There, no, we have spotted him. The dog will chase him away.
Yes, down that dog.
Phoebe, that man's running right into the clothesline.
Oh, there goes all our washing.
Including all our unmentionables.
Yes, and not to mention our undiscussables. Oh, look, the line is tangled around his neck. He's dragging everything after him.
Oh, I'll never live it down. My ruffled skirt chasing a man.
Yes, don't you wish you were in it?
Come, Phoebe, we have to get dressed and go after that thief.
In what? This is wash day.
We could call the police if we had the phone.
And knew how to work one.
Oh, we'll never hear the last of this. That man running up the street, airing our washing in public. Let's track him down. Snatching girls' washing off the line. Come on, Myrtle. Go out looking like this. Oh, I'd better make up my face.
Don't pinch your cheeks so hard, Myrtle. You look like a hussy. All right, let's go.
Of all the things to happen, having an empty petticoat chase me home.
Why didn't you stop and get untangled from the clothesline?
Because I didn't want to get tangled with that confounded dog.
Oh, I hope the Squaw Girl sisters don't find out who tore their clothesline down. The pop will never get them to sell their property to the city.
You know, this new washing machine of your mother's is a wonder. We'll take the clothes back to their yard tonight after dark, huh?
I hope they don't go to bed early. We have their nightgowns.
Well, there now, the washing's finished, I see. You know, it's a most remarkable contraption. Ought to be wonderful for making martinis.
Well, we better get the Scrawwell's washing out of sight and the porch cleaned up before Mom comes home from the beauty parlor.
Yes, I say, these things will never dry in California sunshine. Let's hang them in the living room, shall we?
All right.
You know, it's a wonderful thing, this machine age. These new cars, push a button and the roof goes back. The finance company pushes a button and the car goes back. Bumps, we'd better get this washing hung up. Confound it. Never knew clothes that took so long to dry. Your parents will be home any minute, won't they?
Blowing on that petticoat won't dry it.
What if, really?
The car. It's Mom and Pop. And the minister.
Oh, dear. It wouldn't do for a man of the cloth to see a man with these clothes. Now, quick, Bumps, let's hide them in the hall closet, shall we?
Get those
well, don't
off
trail
the
that apron
the
on the floor, child.
It's
the hanky.
Mom! Uncle Cecil!
Open that hall closet quick, Bumps. Is that everything? Quick now, close the door, dear.
Bumps! Now, I wonder where that child is.
Here I am, Mom, in the living room. Uncle Cecil, there's a piece of washing on the chair.
Oh, dear, I'll hide it behind me.
Oh, come here, dear. I want you to meet Reverend Foster. He married your father and me.
How lucky for me. How do you do?
How are you, Shirley?
Shirley? Who's Shirley?
Your daughter, darling.
Oh, Bumps. Oh, we call her Bumps now, Reverend. Have you met my uncle?
I don't believe I have.
Uncle Cecil, Reverend Foster.
How do you do?
Here, I'll take your hat, Reverend, and put it in the closet.
Not in the closet, William.
Well, what's wrong with putting it in the closet?
Moths, William. Moths, yes.
Uncle Cecil, you're acting strange. What's that you're holding behind you?
Just a handkerchief.
Let me see the... Uncle Cecil, since when did you start using lace hankies?
Moths, William, the moths.
Oh, all my family's a little crazy, Reverend Foster. But anyway, we're delighted to see you.
And I'm delighted to see you. I always remember what a fine-looking couple you two made when I married you.
You tied a very secure knot. I remember the ceremony very well.
You do? Most couples hardly hear the vows, I suspect. You know, that's a theory of mine. If people gave as much thought to what they promise in the marriage ceremony as they do to what they promise when they sign a lease or any other kind of a contract, there wouldn't be so many divorces.
Yes, as an attorney, I've wondered about that, too. People rush into lifetime contracts without ever looking at the fine print.
You know, a couple I married came to me not long ago for advice. They were about to break up, but they didn't.
What did you tell them?
Nothing. I just read the ceremony to them again. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health.
Oh, it's a beautiful ceremony. Bill, I have an idea.
Yeah?
Let's get married again.
Yeah. What?
No, I'm serious. Every anniversary, I'd like to repeat that vow.
Oh.
Oh, do you think I'm silly, Reverend Foster?
I think you're very wise.
Would you marry us again? I mean, well, there wouldn't be anything sacrilegious about it, would there?
On the contrary.
All right. Now, Bill, you come here and stand beside me.
Yeah.
Bumps, where are you going?
I'm not so so sure I belong in this setup.
Well, of course you do. Uncle Cecil, where are you going?
Why, to get you a wedding present. You know, I think this is charming. Carry on, cheerio.
Now, Nancy, if you stand there, and Bill,
Oh, the door. Now, wouldn't you know it? Every time I want to get married, somebody rings a bell.
Bump, see who it is.
Okay, but hold up the wedding. Not every day a girl can see her parents get married.
Well, you won't miss much. Go on, Reverend Foster.
We are gathered here to join in holy wedlock.
I'm coming.
How do you do, little girl? The neighbors sent us here. Is your mother engaged?
Engaged? Well, from the sound of things in the other room, she's certainly going steady anyway.
Don't we know you? Yes. Isn't that nice Bill Smith your father?
Well, he will be in a minute.
Well, you're a strange child. You seem to be a little confused.
Well, I bet you'd be confused, too, if your parents were getting married in the next room.
Getting married? Oh, how nice.
What? Really, they're just pretending to get married.
What?
Well, I mean... Oh, come on in and see for yourself.
Oh, I believe they are.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
You heard, Phoebe? I heard, Myrtle. Now, what do you think of your Bill Smith?
Pop, I think you better come here.
Well, who is it, Bum?
The Scrogwell sisters.
Oh, well, tell them to wait till I kiss the broom. Hey, you! The Scrogwell sisters!
Oh, look at him stagger, Myrtle. She's a hold of him. She's probably going to carry him over the threshold. Oh, they seem to do everything backwards around here.
Uncle Jimmy has got a beautiful... Oh, I say, look who's here. The Gibson girls.
Myrtle, let me have the bifocals. It's the man who stole our laundry.
What, Uncle Cecil? Oh, no. Uncle Cecil wouldn't steal laundry, would he?
Me steal laundry? Preposterous.
Oh, do you see? You must have been mistaken. Now, give me your wraps and join us for dinner. I'll put your coats in the closet.
Well, if you insist.
Nancy, I say, not in the closet. The moths.
Oh, nonsense, Uncle Cecil.
The moths, the moths.
Oh, what are you talking... What in heaven's name is that falling out of the closet?
Our clothes.
What?
My pink ones are mine. You always wear black.
Uncle Cecil, listen, is this your work? You can pull more bloomers than any man I know.
William, are you trying to be humorous?
We're going to report you to the police. Snatching poor girls' washing off the line.
Uncle Cecil, listen, you come with me. We're going to have a talk.
Miss Myrtle, Miss Phoebe, I want to show you something. Bring that washing and come with me, please.
Well, I don't trust anyone in this house. Now, wait, Phoebe. As Mother said, we must always be polite.
Bill got me an anniversary present, and I think this is the time to try it out. Now, see how easily this new machine works? Do you think you understand it now?
Can't believe it. No scrubbing and no rubbing. Phoebe, let's see if we can work it. Ready? Contact. Roger. Oh, the most amazing thing I've ever seen. What do they think of next? My, I can't get over these new inventions. May I put another piece of bread in the toaster?
Well, as soon as that one pops out. It's almost ready.
Oh, I got it. Shame on you, Phoebe. It was my turn to catch. Not only gets breakfast, throws it right at you. Oh, see what they've been inventing while you've been cooped up home reading Uncle Tom's Cabin. know, I'd like to hear a radio sometime.
What? You don't have a radio? Well, listen, we'd be lost without Jack Benny and Bing Crosby and Eddie Cantor and...
Ad Fibber McGee.
Ad Libber McGee.
Ad Libber McGee.
Is he that Irish tenor?
Oh, no, no. You know, Sister Scroggwell, I think that you two ought to get out and see more of the world. For instance, if you would sell that property, you'd have a nice little income, you could modernize.
Would be nice not to fight over who's going to sit in the wash boiler on Saturday night. I would like to see that movie star all the girls are swooning over.
Oh, you mean Van Johnson?
We mean Rudolph Valentino.
Well, neighbors, looks like the kids get a new playground and the Scroggwell sisters get modernized. Thanks to the Smiths. And thanks to you for listening. There'll be another session with the Smiths of Hollywood next week at this same time, same station. The program was written by Dick Nosserman and Hal Thomas, directed by Vic Knight, and produced by Andrew Hickox. The music was scored and conducted by Charles Hathaway. In tonight's cast were Sarah Berner and Ruth Parrott as the Scroggwell sisters. My name is Tyler McVeigh, and I bid you farewell until next time.
The Smiths of Hollywood, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 28th of February, 1947, first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System and released for syndication. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday with your host, Mark Levonier. And now we hear Harry Von Zell from the Smiths of Hollywood once more as announcer for the Burns and Allen Show next from January 15th, 1945 on CBS. It turned out to be a busy month for Burns and Allen, starring in three of their own radio programs, also on Command Performance and the Eddie Cantor Show, whose announcer was also Harry Von Zell. This episode next features special guest actor Alan Ladd.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gracie Allen. As the attack on all fronts continues to intensify, more and more paper used in the manufacture of many vital war supplies must be shipped overseas. We must do a better job of paper salvage than we have ever done before. With so much paper going to our armed forces overseas, we must save for salvage every bit of every kind of waste paper that remains in this country. Remember, paper packs a punch. So get in touch with your local salvage committee today, won't you?
Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles, brings you George Burns and Gracie Allen. With their guest star, Alan Ladd, the Swan Tet, the music of Felix Mills, and yours truly, Harry Von Zell. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. We look in on the Burnses today, we find them seated in their neighborhood movie, watching the thrilling climax of an Alan Ladd picture.
Yes, Emily, I love you. I've always loved you, darling.
Isn't he handsome, George?
Oh, Doctor, I can't make up my mind.
I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my body.
Don't be choosy, Emily. Take any one of the three. Look, George, look. He's putting his arms around her. He's going to kiss her.
No, no, Doctor. You mustn't kiss me. Not here.
But, Emily.
No, Doctor. Please.
Kiss me, Alan.
Grace.
Look, George. He's kissing her anyway. That lad never takes no for an answer. The end of the picture. Let's stay and see it again, George.
Gracie, we've been here since noon. We've seen the picture three times.
I want to get home and listen to Vox Pop.
But Alan Ladd looks so wonderful in this picture. You know, he seems to look older.
We all look older. We've been here 6 hours.
Please, George, just this one.
No. I'm sure other women aren't silly enough to sit in a movie all day. Now, come on.
Well, all right.
Excuse me, are you folks leaving the theater?
Yes.
Would you mind calling Hillside 2141 and telling my husband I won't be home till tomorrow night?
Let's go, Grace. Now, Gracie, you've been talking about Alan Ladd all the way home. I don't want to hear any more about him.
Oh, but George, did you see the way he kissed Loretta Young?
Certainly I saw it. Just took her in his arms like this and kissed her like this. There.
George, were you watching Porky Pig?
I don't want to talk any more about it.
Oh, wasn't he convincing as the doctor in that picture? Oh, what a doctor he'd make in real life.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to tell a woman to open her mouth and say, ah. That's the way she'd walk right into his office.
Look, Gracie,
it was so wonderful the way he cured Loretta Young of her deafness. I wish he'd work on my ears sometime.
Don't be ridiculous. You're not hard of hearing.
What did you say, George?
I said you're not deaf.
Eh?
Oh, stop that. I've had all of this that I can stand.
Yes, dear.
6 o'clock and I'm hungry.
Yes, dear.
And forget about Alan Ladd.
Yes, dear.
What are we going to have?
What would you like, Alan?
Alan?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I'll get dinner right away.
Of all the silly... Come in. Oh, hello, Harry.
Gee, why so low, George?
Oh, it's Gracie. We saw an Alan Ladd picture this afternoon. She hasn't stopped raving about him yet.
Well, George, you should never take your wife to see Alan Ladd in the afternoon.
No?
No. Take her at night when it's too dark to make comparisons. Right.
This is nothing to joke about. I'm plenty mad.
Oh, well, George, it's nothing to get upset about. There are certain popular idols that all the women worship. Alan Ladd, Van Johnson, Frank Sinatra, Swan Soap, Cary Grant.
Swan Soap? How did that get in there?
Well, what do the women do when they see those fellas?
Swoon.
That's right. Swoon, the white floating soap
No.
The soap that's so mild, so gentle, that doctors recommend it for babies. And you'll find that its baby mildness makes Swan great for your hands and face. Swell for doing the dishes and perfect for washing your fine things.
Look, Harry.
Oh, George, Oh, hello, Harry.
Hello, Gracie.
Is dinner ready, dear?
Oh, no, dear. I just couldn't bear to cook that chicken.
Why not?
Well, its chest stuck out just like Alan Ladd.
Well, that's the last straw. I'm eating at the Brown Derby. Goodbye.
Well, what's wrong with him?
He's mad about Alan Ladd.
Well, so am I.
No, I mean, he's angry. And if you don't stop talking about that guy, George might do something desperate.
You mean he might leave me? Oh, that would be terrible.
Darn right it would. Why, if you two separated, I just couldn't stand it. He wouldn't be on the radio anymore. And I couldn't talk about Swan Soap anymore.
Oh, well, Harry, don't worry. We won't split up.
Oh, no, please don't. I couldn't stand that. My two favorites in the whole world separated. Me and Swan Soap. Gee... Swan, the pure soap that's so wonderful for doing dishes. You not only get loads of suds, but Swan babies your hands. Helps keep them looking so lovely. Look, Gracie, I just got to talk about Swan.
My goodness, Alan Ladd means nothing to me. I'll call George at the Brown Derby and tell him I didn't mean it.
It'll take more than that to convince him. In fact, it'll probably take Alan Ladd.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, if Alan Ladd were to throw himself at you in front of George and you gave him the brush off, that would convince him.
Harry Von Zell, are you suggesting that I get Alan Ladd to make love to me? Well, I couldn't do a thing like that. Huh?
Well, Sure you could.
Oh, I could not. Huh?
Yes, you could, Gracie.
Oh, no. Huh?
Well, for, if you'd rather not.
Oh, okay, Harry. You talked me into it.
Whispering while you cuddle near, whispering so no one can hear me. Each little whisper seems to cheer me, 'cause I know it's true, there's no one dear but you. You're whispering why you'll never leave me, and you're whispering why you'll never grieve me. Won't you whisper and say you believe me when I'm whispering that I love you?
Now let's see. This should be Alan Ladd's house. Right here.
Well, good evening, Missy Burns.
Why, Mr. Postman, are you delivering mail this late? It's after 6.
Oh, no. My wife and I had a little spat. She was trying to persuade me to take her to the movie, and I stuck my tongue out right in her face.
Oh, Mr. Postman, that isn't nice, to stick your tongue out.
I know, but it always happens when she's choking me.
My goodness. What could have made her that anxious to see a movie?
Alan Ladd. My wife is crazy about him.
Well, she's just human.
Yes, just. You'd think my wife would get tired of the Alan Ladd type with me around the house all the time.
Why, are you the Alan Ladd type?
Oh, decidedly. Except that my muscles aren't built in by my tailor.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean what looks like Ladd might just be pads?
Well, you never know with these movie actors, Missy Burns. Some of them wear toupees and corsets and false eyelashes and heavens knows what.
Really?
Yes. Some of those glamour boys don't have dressing rooms. They have assembly lines.
Oh, oh, this is wonderful. You see, George is insanely jealous of Alan Ladd, but he wouldn't be if he knew that that wiry figure was really held together with wire. I'm going right in and see Mr. Ladd.
Well, good luck, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Hey, this is exciting. I don't know whether I'm going to see Alan Ladd or a reasonable facsimile.
Yes?
Hello, Mr. Ladd. As cute in person as you do on the screen.
Oh, really?
But of course, one never knows, does one?
Won't you come in and sit down?
Oh, thank you. You sit down too, Mr. Ladd, or do your stays poke you?
Stays? I don't understand.
Oh, come now, Mr. Ladd. Don't blink your false eyelashes at me.
Now, look. Look, I don't wear a corset. My eyelashes are not false.
Oh, well, I was just joking. Oh, come on, Mr. Ladd, smile. It was just a joke. There, that's better. I like your smile. Your teeth are so white and dazzling.
Thank you.
That Dr. Cowan does some beautiful work.
I did not get my teeth from Dr. Cowan.
Oh, Dr. Beecham, huh? I love your hair. It's so soft and nice looking.
Thanks. I grow it myself.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, you're really very attractive, Mr. Ladd. I bet when you take a girl in your arms, they are your arms.
Oh, yes, I've had them for years. Look, are you by any chance pulling my leg?
No, but maybe I'd better.
Whatever gave you the idea that men are put together with string, Miss Allen?
Oh, it's not Miss Allen. I'm married to George Burns. Now, what was that question you asked?
Never mind, you just answered it.
Well, Mr. Ladd. Now that I see you're all in one piece, there's only one thing left to do. You have to make love to me in front of my husband and let me spurn you.
But why?
Well, so he'll stop being jealous of you. You know, we saw your picture this afternoon, and every time you came on the screen, I swooned.
Why, Mrs. Burns, shame on you.
Aren't we youngsters a problem? But, Mr. Ladd, I just couldn't help it. You make me feel romantic.
Well, your husband was sitting in the theater with you. Why didn't you get romantic with him?
Well, you don't know my husband. You know, I'd be ashamed to tell you how long it's been since an usher turned his flashlight on us.
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Burns, but I can't make love to you just because you want your husband to see it. I have a wife, you know.
Oh, would she like to watch, too?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm happily married. She might not understand.
Well, you make love to Loretta Young.
Oh, that's different.
Oh, I guess it's because she's prettier than I am.
Not at all. You're just as pretty.
Oh, thank you. I guess it's because she has a nicer figure.
Oh, no, you have a wonderful figure.
Oh, thank you. I guess it's because she looks smarter in her clothes.
No smarter than you do.
Oh, gee. Too bad I'm in a hurry. I could keep this up all day.
No, seriously, Mrs. Burns, I can't do what you ask.
But I've got to convince my husband that you mean nothing to me. If I don't, he might leave me.
George might leave you?
Yes.
Well, in that case, I'll do it. I don't want to be responsible for a man starving to death.
Now, be at my house at 8 o'clock. Goodbye. Why, George, you're home. Did you have dinner?
No. Couldn't eat. All that talk about Alan Ladd spoiled my appetite.
Oh, now, George, you just forget him. He means absolutely nothing to me.
But just this afternoon, you were raving about the way his chest stuck out.
Oh, well, yours would, too. It just happens to be located in girdle territory.
How about his eyes? You were saying how thrilling it was when he dropped his eyes.
Oh, and you've got him beat. You not only can drop your eyes, you've got little built-in pockets for them to drop into.
Yeah, my God. Yeah?
Don't pout anymore. I was serious when I said Alan Ladd means nothing to me.
Wish I could believe that.
Well, you should. Why, if Alan Ladd were to walk in here right now and tell me I was the most beautiful, gorgeous, desirable woman in the whole world, I'd laugh right in his honest face.
You would?
I certainly will.
Huh?
Oh. Answer it, dear.
Well, here I am.
Shh. Come on. My husband's in the den.
Huh? Well, what's my opening line?
Oh, you want me to leave this house. You say, get your things, baby. I'm taking you away from this broken-down wreck you live in.
Well, it's not exactly a broken-down wreck. Well, never mind. I know how to do it.
Oh, good. Well, let's go in. is after me.
All right, get your things, baby. I'm taking you away from this broken-down wreck to live here.
Now, just a minute.
All right, step aside, Daddy.
I will not step aside. She's my wife, and I'll protect her. It's my duty as a husband.
Yeah? What are you going to do about it?
Lucky for you, I'm off duty right now.
Just a minute, Alan, lad. You can't just come in here and carry people out. Where do you think you are? At Montgomery Ward?
Gracie is right. That's telling him, Gracie.
Are you going to play hard to get, huh? I'll take you in my arms like this.
Oh!
And I'll crush you like this.
Oh! George! George!
Yes, dear?
Well, just don't stand there. See what's at the door.
I'll be right back.
Oh, hello, George. Say, I've got a swell idea for the program tonight.
Oh, not now, Harry. I've got trouble.
Why, what's the matter?
Oh, there's a good-looking movie star trying to break up my home.
What? Why, the sneaking... Let me handle this, George. I'm a tiger, you know. I can lick my weight in movie stars. Who is she?
It's not a she. It's Alan Ladd.
Oh. Well, so long.
Wait a minute. Together we can handle him.
That's just it. He'll take us apart.
Oh, come on. We're not afraid of him. Gracie.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, help! Help!
Take your hands off that woman.
Yeah, who says so?
Harry Von Zell.
And who is Harry Von Zell?
Smith is my name. I'm with the Swan Soap people out of Cambridge. Mr. Ladd, did you know that Swan is the white floating soap that's pure as fine Castile's? Did you know that the Swan people will give a free cake of Swan to every baby born in 1945? You see, Swan's so pure, so mild, so gentle, it's just perfect for babies.
All right, on your way, fat boy.
Fat boy. That's done it. Put up your hands.
They're up.
Gracious, they need washing with Swan. You know, Mr. Ladd, Swan is wonderful for your hands and face. After all, if it's great for baby's tender skin, it must be great for your complexion, your tub or shower. Not only that, but Swan gives baby gentle care to your lingerie, too. And, Mr. Ladd, we know how important it is to protect our dainty things, don't we?
All right, look, Bubble Boy, get out of my hair.
Don't let him talk to you like that, Harry. You're just as good as he is.
I am?
Well, sure. You're both men. You're both flesh and blood. It just happens that you've got the flesh and he's got the blood.
Yeah. Well, believe me, I'm not afraid of Alan Ladd. I'll be very happy to fight him.
Yeah, when?
Anytime we're not in the presence of ladies, that's when. Just come by my house. Here's my address. I live there with my mother and 14 sisters. Come on.
Brave friend.
Hey, I'm all mixed up. Where were we?
Oh, I remember. Here, put your arms around me.
Oh, like this?
No, a little harder.
Gracie.
No, let go, Alan Ladd. Let go. How dare you lay a hand on me?
Oh, but I'm mad about you.
Who is it? Now get out of this house.
But I've come to take you away from George Burns.
What? You have the audacity to think that you could take me away from that handsome, fine-looking Adonis, the man I love?
No, I just want to take you away from George Burns.
Don't make me laugh. Why, what have you got that my husband hasn't got? Or didn't have? Or couldn't get? Or doesn't need? Or couldn't use to be
happy? All right, all right.
Alan, lad, get out of this house. You pumped up Frank Sinatra.
That did it. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, you see, dear, he means nothing to me.
Gosh, I guess you're right.
Well, Are you happy, darling?
Happy for the first time all day. Come on, sweetheart. Let's go out and eat. And you can pick the spot. We'll eat any place you say.
Any place I say?
Sure. The treat's on me. You name it.
All right. Get your hat and coat and let's go.
Oh, doctor, I can't make up my mind.
I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my body.
Oh, George, isn't he wonderful? Have another ham sandwich, dear.
George and Gracie will return in a second. Meanwhile, don't forget that every baby born in 1945 can have a cake of Swan soap free. Your druggist or your grocer will give you the details. And remember, the very fact that Swan is great for your baby makes it wonderful for your complexion and perfect for doing dishes and light laundry. You can't beat Swan, the white floating soap that's pure as fine Castile. And now here are George and Gracie.
Oh, we're a little late, folks. Good night.
Appeared through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, producers of Here Come the Waves. The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in to your Columbia station next Monday, same time. Remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen on CBS every Monday night. So until next Monday, this is Harry Von Zell saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from January 15th, 1945 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.